przyjaciele. Całe kurczano, wyposzył na 200, to się za nim. Przyjaciele. Poza mną.
اگر اروپا و کشورهای مهم مثل روسیه و چین این خلأ بین المللی را پر کنند شاید راهی برای ادامه مسیر باشد. در غیر این صورت جمهوری اسلامی با اقدامات هسته‌ای خود ایشان را سر عقل می آورد و این را بدانند که در چنین شرایطی ایران هیچ تعهدی ندارد که در جایگاه گذشته خود در مسئله هسته‌ای قرار بگیرد.
The deadline for attaining this goal is getting extremely close. And Iran, by the way, is also outpacing Iraq in the development of ballistic missile systems that they hope will reach the eastern seaboard of the United States within 15 years. By next spring, at most, by next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage. From there, it's only a few months, possibly a few weeks, before they get enough enriched uranium for the first bomb. The foremost sponsor of global terrorism could be weeks away from having enough enriched uranium for an entire arsenal of nuclear weapons.
That would place a militant Islamic terror regime weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months, less than a year.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And obviously the news of the week is the war that is now broken out in Iran, in the Middle East, yet again, not shocking, but yet still somewhat surprising for some. We're going to talk about that and much more over the course of the 2 hours that you have me. We'll be right back after a brief break here in a moment. We're talking Iran, Israel, America, America First, the MAGA movement, a bunch of other things. We're going to get to a lot over the course of 2 hours, so strap in, and we'll be right back in a moment.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast. This is Sunday Night Live on InfoWars. The war has broken out with Iran, and I just want to talk to you. I'm glad that I got 2 full hours and we have these nice, big 22-minute segments for me to just go through some things. And I may say something tonight that fundamentally tanks my U.S. Senate campaign, may ruin a lot of relationships. That's just kind of the nature of the political climate that we live in. But I'm going to do it anyway. I get the sense, I was telling somebody the other day, there's a phrase we used to use, is, you know, learning how to pace a shower. Do you know how to pace a shower? Can you pace a shower properly? In our culture right now, the climate is just hot or cold, scalding hot, freezing cold, shock on both ends. And I don't say that to promote or encourage being lukewarm either. I say it to mean we kind of have three places on the political spectrum or in our political culture. You have scalding hot, you have freezing cold, or you have lukewarm, moderate, milk toast, can't call the balls and strikes. The real crisis in our leadership is we have trouble calling the balls and strikes accurately and with consistency. Just being able to call the balls and strikes on a multitude of things, because there's a war on many fronts. And this is a prime example. So tonight, I just want to walk through sort of hierarchical priority list. How I think. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. And maybe at the end of this 2-hour segment, people will look back and go, man, that Royce White was absolutely out of his mind. But maybe, just maybe, people slowly come back to what I regard as a more sane place on a lot of these things. Okay, hierarchically, as a human being, what are my priorities? God, family, country, in that order. God, family, country, in that order. In the country part, God, faith, family, security, protection, can they eat? Do they have shelter? Those kind of basic things. Country. Get to country, you think citizen. I'm a citizen of a country. What does it mean to be a citizen? What things are a priority for me as a citizen of a country? Number one, what can I do for my country? It's not what your country can do for you. It's what you can do for your country. So that should be, ruminating around in there somewhere. But you have things like holding your government and elected officials accountable to set policy and govern in a way that puts your interests first as a citizen. Whether that be the laws, whether that be the way that the roads work, it's kind of logistically, whether that be, quality of life, standard of living, cost, affordability, policy, trade policy, safety, public safety. These are some of the things that you should be thinking about as a citizen. What are my priorities as a citizen? What standards do I hold my government to? How do I hold them accountable? How do I go about participating in the political process from a citizen mindset? Do I regard myself as a citizen of a nation or a citizen of a global society? Important distinctions to make. It gets tricky in here, especially when we talk about war. And I want to say this on the front end. I think society's getting out of control. That's just the bottom line. Society is getting out of control. We started a clock when we split the atom that essentially said we're going to have an arms race to the very end of who wants to press the button of doomsday first. We're going to have an international arms race. We're going to have a self-fulfilling replacement of artificial intelligence. We are going to grow technology and advance technology so that people can have more information than ever, but place no priority on the wisdom needed to go along with it to keep people safe from it. And right now, technology is out of control. We have no clue, and I mean absolutely no clue, other than what we see every day, that people are losing their minds. We are really seeing in real time people losing their minds at a level that I don't think we've ever seen before. And I don't mean your severely mentally ill people who used to be in insane asylums, and you know, we shut the insane asylums down, so now they're walking around on your streets, sometimes stabbing a young innocent woman in the neck on a bus or a train. Not that. I mean people who used to be functionally sane are starting to lose their minds right before our very eyes. That being said, and that aside, we have no clue, no real clue what the algorithms, what social media, what the artificial intelligence and all of the applications that they now have in military have done to the psychology, the mind of people in this country, all around the world, and what it's done to the culture writ large. We have no real clue where technology is taking us, but more importantly, where it's brought us to right now. So we look up and we see a video of the Ayatollah or President Trump, myself, Alex Jones, pick somebody, and we don't even know if it's real anymore. And that is the unfortunate and dark reality of what we're dealing with right now today. So what does that mean? That means that we're going to have to refine culture on the fly because we've made a decision, a categorical decision, that we're not slowing down with the advancement of technology. That train has already left the station. That Pandora's box is already open and nobody even seems remotely interested in closing it again. Do you want to go down to the root of what the crisis is in this country? I'll take you right there. Before we get to Iran and Israel and you know, these globalists versus nationalists and the Zionists and the Muslim Brotherhood and the Republicans and Democrats, let's go right to the heart of the issue that everybody understands. It's the elephant in the room, but we don't want to address because the technology's gotten so good. We would much rather we would much rather take on the risk of that spiraling out of control by scapegoating that problem onto everything else. That's the problem. The problem is we have made a decision as a species, as a country, as a people. If technology gets out of control, so be it, because the ride is great. Enjoy the ride. Okay, fine. Even if that's the decision that we've made and that's the route we're going to go, we damn sure better try and refine the culture on the fly. We have two choices now in this country, two choices really all around the world, revolution or renaissance. We can have a renaissance, a political, social, cultural, spiritual renaissance, or we can have a revolution. I kind of think we should go the renaissance route. But again, it's going to take a discipline and an organization of logic and critical thought and first principles if we have any chance whatsoever of threading a needle. And I guess I always bring it back to sports because I'm a lifelong athlete. In athletics and sports, we understand the fight against perfection. And there is a double-sided fight against perfection. there's a duality here. And the human condition, the human existence is full of dualities. There's a duality with perfection. It's because you always want to strive to be perfect. Anybody who's not striving to be perfect doesn't really have a a good sense of purpose and meaning and drive. You always want to strive to be perfect at anything you do. But you can't want to be perfect so much that it gives you paralysis. There's a saying that perfect can be the enemy of the good. So you have to fight. There's a fight against perfection on both sides of the coin. What does that leave us with? Again, you have hot, you have cold. And now what most people have come to recognize is the moderate milquetoast middle, what the scripture calls lukewarm, is just as dangerous as the extremes. So now there's even a sense that people who are steady, calm, and can call the balls and strikes consistently can't be trusted. We've lost all faith that there are people in our society that can effectively call the balls and strikes consistently who aren't corrupt. And we did that. I understand. We, the people, we did that to our own society and our own culture. We played fast and loose with the truth. We turned a blind eye when all of these milquetoast, moderate, middle of the row folks told us they were governing and doing things in our interest as citizens, as people. And they were really lying straight to our face, but they did it, with an offering of material wealth, an increase of material wealth, or at least a perception of an increasing standard of living or quality of life. So we let it slide. Trust is at an all-time low, and for good reason. So not only do we have to fight the unfettered, unlimited, out of control advancement of technology, which we have no clue where it's headed. We have to do it on the fly. We have to refine a culture in a time where trust is at an all-time low. For good reason. How do you do it? How do you find that happy balance? It's like athletes, I don't know what it is, but it's so clear to me, the correlation. As an athlete, you have to find that happy balance, that medium. And it's a term that we refer to in the basketball world or with basketball players as, again, pace. We have to find the right pace through this chaos we're seeing. There's a pace here. There's a tempo. There's a flow. There's a cadence that we have to find. And I think it's more intellectual than it is political or it is, anything else. It's more intellectual. There's an intellectual, our intellectual cadence is way off, probably due to the mind virus of liberalism, for sure. I mean, that can be put right out in front. Communism, sure. Satanism, of course. I mean, demonic influence has a way of throwing your spiritual and intellectual cadence off. But it's not just that. It's not only those things. Our pace is off because of the information, social media, and this sort of biological need, this biological tendency to separate ourselves into groups so we feel more secure about the things we think. And I say this not to pat myself on the back, but people like myself were made for a time such as this because I don't need a co-signature. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you agree. I don't care if I'm in your little group or out of your little group. When I see you, wave, nod, hi, hug, give me, Jesus loves you. And I'm good with that. Because I know he loves me. Because I'm going to be a watchman on the wall until the day that I die, till the day that they kill me. Let's walk through this thing. Rigorously, from an intellectual standpoint, practically. Okay? Let's start on this end. I'm going to work my way to the bottom. But let's start again. As a citizen, what things should we demand from our government? Are the elections secure? And that's my numero uno right now. Are our elections secure? The answer is absolutely not. Our elections aren't secure. And until that happens, I have real question about everything else that's taken place. And I mean everything. Until somebody can tell me why our elections aren't secure or why it's not our government's number one priority, and I mean number one with no close second, why our elections are not secure, I have questions about everything else going on, hierarchically. But let's go away from the most remote, that which is most approximate to us, that which is most local. Our own elections aren't secure. Let's go to the global scale for a moment. We're in an asymmetric war. We're in an asymmetrical war with a country that we helped build. Root and branch. China, the Chinese Communist Party, we built it into the monster that it is. And now they're going all around the world, colonizing by asymmetric means, not by force, but they come bearing gifts. They come with their industrialization. They come with their technology. They come with their speed of manufacturing and their ability to provide a material wealth, a material cost, a material high that we right now in America can't match because we supplemented our manufacturing to them. So we're losing an asymmetric war with our national mortal enemy. And make no mistake about it, they are our national mortal enemy. Is it because they're China and we're America? No. Is it even because they're communists and we're capitalists? No. No, it's because in China, they believe that the Chinese people have supremacy of the human race, that they have a mandate from heaven. They are the supreme human beings on this planet, and everybody else is subhuman. And they also believe that government should be the highest authority in society. In our country, we believe that the sovereign individual is the highest authority in society, only transcended by God himself. Two diametrically opposing views of the structure of government, the proper structure of government, and the hierarchy between man and God. That's why they're our national mortal enemy. And it just so happens they are at a point where they're almost strong enough, powerful enough, technologically advanced enough to really challenge us for the number one spot as the world superpower. That makes them our national mortal enemy. And so we find ourselves in what the historians or the political experts would call the Thucydides trap, that us and China are on a collision course. Dangerous theory, because now where does the local become the global and vice versa? Now you can make a justification that if Iran supplies essential oil to the Chinese and they and China and Russia are in this three-way alliance referred to as the Iron Triangle with a little North Korea or maybe a little India or a little of some other people in between like Venezuela, then global action, military action, does become in the best vital interest of our nation. And that's the claim that's being made. And anybody who said, and stick with me here, stick with me. You can make that argument. You can make that argument with perfect utility. We are in an asymmetric war, and nobody really knows when the doomsday button is going to be hit or who's going to hit it first. We can make that argument. Okay. Sounds good on paper for the theater. And I'm not undermining the seriousness of our enemies or their ability to harm us. What I'm saying is we have to thread a needle. We have to find a happy balance. We have to find a pace through this chaos. We are a performer on a unicycle, on a tightrope at a circus. And sure, we have a lot of things going our way. Skill, mastery, experience. A past that proves that we've been able to walk through this technological advancement with some, with some sort of competence. But that doesn't guarantee that we can continue on this way. That doesn't guarantee that our next misstep is the one that does us in. There are no guarantees, especially when you cross into the fog of war and the law of unintended consequences. There are certainly no guarantees. And anybody who tells you different is lying to you. Respectfully. Let's take it down a step. Ayatollah was asking for it. Iran's been asking for it. All these Arab countries have been asking for it. There's no doubt about that. You yell death to America long enough, you end up in a fight. They know it. We know it. Even more importantly, maybe our other enemies know it. And maybe we are getting pulled into something that we shouldn't be in. I'm going to get to that in a moment, that theory of the case. But in principle, don't cry. Don't yell death to America and then cry genocide. Don't yell death to America and then cry genocide. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't feel bad for you. I'm not going to shed a tear for you. I'm sorry. Because in my neighborhood, if you ask for a fight, you get one. You talk shit long enough, you get hit in the mouth. And maybe you come back with a knife. And maybe they come back with a gun. And maybe two people end dead or two families or rival gangs or whatever the case may be. Maybe several people end up dead before people finally say, you know what? We've had enough of the killing. There's better things to do with our life. Sometimes that lasts for generations. That's what we're seeing there in the Middle East. And there's a connection to us. They view us as the great Satan. That's why I played the video there. And there is an Islamification that is on the horizon. It happened in Europe. This isn't conjecture. It's not my opinion. It's not conspiracy theory. It's not something I'm being fed by the neoconservative deep state. I'm watching it. I live in Minneapolis. There's call to prayer five times a day on the loudspeakers in the city ordinance limits. And they don't even want kids to be able to pray in the public schools. Pray to Christ. In the public school. So I'm watching the Islamification up close. The question is, how dire is the Islamification? It's dire for Europe. 10% of their population is already Muslim. It's dire for the Middle East because Israel is surrounded. Is it dire for us in America? That's the question we need to be thinking about, and that's the question we have to answer. And that's what I'm going to talk about here on the other side of the break. Was the threat of Iran imminent? Was it imminent? You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose. Absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Iron CMOS and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here with Billy the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And obviously, today we're talking about Iran at a deep sort of, you know, pragmatic, political nuts and bolts kind of level. Before the break, I went from the China level, the global level, the four player jump ball, and that's what we're in geopolitically. There's a four player jump ball. China, Russia, European elites in Davos, whatever's going to happen there in the Middle East theater, the Middle East, Africa sort of, you know, whole of things, and us and America, the Western Hemisphere. And there's that great map that you see cut up into three sections. One half, the Western Hemisphere, says President Trump. The other half says Mr. Putin. And, you know, the other third says Mr. Xi Jinping. Talked about that sphere. We're in an asymmetrical war. And we have no idea where, first of all, where AI is bringing all of human civilization. We have no idea what it's doing to our culture, to our psychology right here at home. And we have no idea the role that AI will play in the arms race, even the sentiment between us and our enemies, and from their vantage as well. Because if I was AI, I mean, the real dangerous dynamic here, and if I was artificial intelligence, I'd try and get everybody to wipe themselves out. I'd try and get humanity to just wipe themselves out. Problem is, they're not energy sufficient enough yet. I mean, this is the Matrix narrative playing out right before our eyes, or, you know, potentially playing out before our eyes. And we haven't even given that a lot of credit or merit yet that maybe the algorithms, which every day, every week, we're hearing more and more horror stories about AI doing things that is, you know, just right out of a sci-fi horror film. And it's always the buried lead. I mean, it's always page, it's not even page 7, it's page 17, and that's by design. But we don't know how far this thing really, you know, is along yet. So we're dealing with that. Plus, we are in an asymmetrical war of two diametrically opposed cultures and views of the construction of government and the orientation of man to God, us, China. Then you get down to the level of the Irans and the blood feuds that have been going on there in the Middle East for thousands of years. And sure, you can make a great case. The Iranians were asking for it. The mullahs were asking for it. A lot of these Arab countries, a lot of these Muslim countries are asking for it. They have no problem screaming death to America. They have no problem screaming for the death of our nation. And they find a strange, woke liberal alliance with people that I'm seeing right here in Minneapolis that fly the Free Palestine flag, although they have no real care about the Palestinians whatsoever. They show that because they vote for politicians who are funded by AIPAC. I mean, the same people who said Free Palestine here in Minnesota, I'm almost certain, at least by the statistics, at least by the maybe fake election results in 2024 here in Minnesota, and we're going to clean those elections up, hopefully get some real elections so that we can get some real numbers and see where things really are. But by the numbers as they stand, a lot of the same people who said Free Palestine voted for Amy Klobuchar, and she's one of the most AIPAC-funded politicians in the entire country. Contradiction. The Muslim countries yell death to America, but they take our money. They accept our money. They're not hateful enough towards our country not to accept our money. In my neighborhood, you yell long enough, you scream tough enough, enough times, you get punched in the mouth. And that's on the good end of outcomes. Sometimes, you know, I know people who, you know, playing a dice game or at a card game and got shot over a shot and killed over a, you know, just a petty argument. Oh, you touched the dice. Oh, you flipped that card over. Shot and killed right there at the gambling house. So we know the escalatory nature of things, especially between men. That being said, all of that being said, the question for America has to be, what are America's priorities? Number one priorities, top of the list priorities. First, promises made, promises kept, the MAGA movement, and I'm going to continue to wear my hat and try and encourage the President of the United States and all the others around him who may be advising him that there is a political fight happening in our own country. Quite a nail biter, I might add, if Minneapolis is any indicator, that some people have completely broken from reality, yet they still get to cast a vote because that's the way our country is constructed. People who are completely out of their mind get to vote. So we have to deal with that. Part of dealing with that is we are in a narrative war, an information war, as Alex Jones has so eloquently put it and carried the flag for three decades. We are in an information war. And on days like today, we're losing that information war. We're losing the narrative. First and foremost, promises made, promises kept. In my last campaign, I said, border, debt, forever wars. And God bless President Trump. The border is closed. Crime is down and the economy is up. Don't let them tell you anything different. The border's closed. Crime is down. The economy is up, which will eventually solve a lot of the debt issues. And I said this in my 2024 convention speech. The last issue is where we're going to have a split in the room. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with it here tonight. The forever wars. We can't continue to protect everybody else's borders more than we protect our own. We can't prioritize other people's territorial integrity more than we have our own. I'm not losing an ounce of sleep that the Ayatollah is dead. I'm not shedding a tear that the Ayatollah is dead. I wouldn't shed a tear if the entire IRGC, you know, we woke up tomorrow and they were completely evaporated. Wouldn't make any difference to me because they yelled death to America. You ask for a fight, you get a fight. However, priorities. The priority in this country is that our elections are secured. Nobody can give me a good reason why the politics or the hostility or the threat there in the Middle East is more important than the security of our own elections. What in the world makes us so arrogant that we think we could properly oversee any long-term regime changes in any other part of the world when our own elections aren't even secure? By its own premise, it's a short-sighted plan. I don't want to hear the long-term plans of Iran and there's 90 million people, but the Iranians are going to overthrow, the Persians are going to overthrow the mullahs and so on and so forth. And it's all a short-term plan because if we don't secure these elections, if we don't make that the number one priority, all of this stuff is going to be undone anyway. It's going to be undone starting in 2026. God forbid in 2028, it's really going to come undone. And we all know it. Without secure elections, none of this stuff even matters. And I don't say that to discourage people from getting involved in the process. It, actually, the opposite, the exact opposite. I'm telling people, it bothers me that so many of you Christians in this country are glued to your television screens listening to Mark Levin scream and celebrate about this Iran war. And we still have not secured our own elections. It actually makes me angry. It makes me want to be somewhat impolite to some of my Christian brothers and sisters. Why are you glued to the screen like a little kid at a Major League Baseball game celebrating a war that we've gotten ourselves into now? It's going to consume everybody's time and energy and resources, and it's going to consume the headlines on the nightly news, all to distract us from the plot. The main plot is that our elections aren't secure. The Democrats agree. The Democrats agreed in 2018. The Republicans agree. A good portion of American citizens, regardless of their race, their age, their religion, their gender, agree that we should have IDs, that there should be mandatory IDs and proof of citizenship to vote like there is in almost every other country in the world, even in Somalia, where Ilhan Omar wants to make it seem is so much better than this country. They got voter ID there in Somalia, Ilhan. For some reason, we don't hear. And that's conspicuous to say the very least. We don't have time right now to be involved in a full-blown kinetic conflict in Iran. And at the same time that I say that, we find ourselves in a position where we're in it now. We're in it. And it's not my choice whether we pull out of it. It's not your choice. The President of the United States' choice. And he probably has information that he's privy to that we don't. I don't want to hear Mark Levin or anybody else on the Israel side of things saying that they were weeks away from a bomb. You're not going to run that narrative on me again. Just come out and tell me we wanted to cut the Chinese oil off. We wanted to cut the Chinese off from oil, more oil after Venezuela. And that was a Chinese oil, basin. We wanted to cut some more oil off and put more pressure on the Chinese. Just tell me that. Kiss me. Kiss me while you screw me. Please kiss me. I'm an American citizen, and I think the American people are rightfully skeptical of these kinds of things, these types of actions. Again, and we find ourselves in a strange place because we're talking about military action. So at some level, the president of the United States, the commander in chief, doesn't want to telegraph what he's going to do or what he's thinking or what the strategy is for his enemies, because then that would kind of be a self-defeatist way of going about things as well. We're going to put it on MSNBC so the entire American public feels comfortable with the war that we're in. We're going to tell our enemies what our strategy is and what we plan to do. No good leader who actually plans on winning a war would do something like that. You see the position we find ourselves in? And that's why I said earlier in the show, the beginning of the show, we have to thread a needle and find the right pace. That's why I think this was a mistake. Happy the Ayatollah is dead. You yell death to America? Screw you. Screw you. And your blue suede shoes. Screw you. I don't care. They're not going to lose any sleep. Because they would have done it to us. And that's a reality that the American people have to become comfortable with as well. All of these people you have this sympathy for, all you woke leftist lunatics, have all this sympathy for people who would just as soon walk into a restaurant with a bomb, under their coat in a vest and rip the cord and blow you to pieces without a second thought. If they had the capacity to dominate the world the way the American military has, they would do it. And you would suffer underneath it. You would suffer under that tyranny. The same way their people suffered under the tyranny. And it just strikes me as odd that Alex Preddy and Renee Good die in what the left calls rightful protest, yet the Iranians, the mullahs, mow down tens of thousands of Iranians who are protesting, and you don't find any problem with that. Isn't that weird? Is that strike anybody else as odd? That the left doesn't seem to have a problem, that their hatred of America, their hatred of their own country, their hatred of their own national religion to a degree, as Christianity is the predominant national religion, their hatred of their own heritage and culture is so profound that they cheer on people who have declared themselves enemies of their country, of their way of life, of their heritage and culture, when they publicly do the same exact things the left say is evil and tyrannical here at home. Contradiction. Hard to thread a needle, hard to find that happy medium, that balance with too much contradiction. I cannot stand the way that the Jewish identity has been used to silence and censor and discredit anybody who has any legitimate questions about this conflict in the Middle East, this ongoing conflict in the Middle East, and our relationship with it as America and American citizens. I cannot stand it. It disgusts me. It disgusts me. And it should disgust Jews everywhere. It should disgust American citizens. It should disgust Christians, because I know it would disgust Christ. I know Christ would be disgusted with the way the Jewish identity has been used to silence and censor the truth. And I ask myself a question. Why are all these people who never liked President Trump and never really supported President Trump now celebrating President Trump? When I see that happen, alarms go off in my head. When I see Tom Cotton and Mark Levin and Tom Cotton came from under the tutelage of Bill Kristol, who's a neoconservative war mongering now communist bootlicker. And he is. Bill Kristol was licking Mom Donnie's boots before that election. Never forget. And his father was an conservative intellectual thought leader extraordinaire. That's who Tom Cotton. That's who produced Tom Cotton.
And, you know, I get the president's real impressed with Tom Cotton because he's tall and he's a combat veteran and he went to Harvard. He has a couple PhDs. You know what? Take your PhDs and shove them up your rear end, buddy. We're not impressed. Come to my neighborhood. That's what we need. Give me the first 100 rednecks in this country before the first 100 PhDs any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Give me the first 100 rednecks with a MAGA hat before the first 100 PhDs coming out of Harvard any day of the week and twice on Sundays. I think Tom Cotton I think he's a coward. I think he's a coward and he's a con artist. And he may say the same thing about me. Look at this dumb Negro wearing a MAGA hat. Don't you know MAGA's a racist movement? Don't you know America First is just a dog whistle for racism and anti-Semitism? You know what? We're sick of it, buddy. We're sick of it. And even if that's the case, even if underneath all of this logical consistency that America should prioritize America First is some underlying, unspoken racial and religious tension that we're really harboring or we're displacing, we'll work that out. We'll work that out on the other side. I was just in a room last night at a church up in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Myself and the great Mike Lindell were the keynote speakers. And I think myself and Mike Lindell are going to, start to team up here and go against the rhino establishment that hates President Trump right here in the state of Minnesota. They say Mike Lindell's unelectable. They say I'm unelectable. When you hear the word electable, like Tom Cotton, you should fear it. You should hear the word electable and fear it. The electable ones are the ones who got us into crisis. The electable ones brought us to where we are today. But I was just in a room last night, and everybody in the room was white. Everybody. 3 hours from the Twin Cities. Everybody in the room, ultra MAGA, loves this country, loves God, supports President Trump, loves the idea of us putting America's priorities first. All white. I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. Not in the least. Because some things do transcend race. Some ideas do transcend the color of people's skin. Some ideas do transcend a history of tension and conflict. Some ideas transcend those things. Freedom. Liberty. Rights, citizenship, nationhood, national honor, sacred honor. And that's what I talked to the crowd about last night. And that's what I'm talking to you about here tonight. Skip, because both things can be true. Iran can be a genuine threat. And the Islamification of the entire world can be a genuine threat. We already see it happening in Europe, and we need to separate from the Europeans. I'll say it again. I've said it here on the show before. The Europeans should subsidize Israel. The Europeans should subsidize Israel as a litmus test for how serious they take the Islamification in their own country. And while they're at it, they can stop educating all these Gucci Bedouins from Saudi Arabia. Or anywhere else in the Middle East they come from, who are all educated at Cambridge or Oxford or wherever else they get their fancy PhDs. That's why they all speak better English than we do here in America. These radical Muslim extremist leaders in the Middle East, they speak better English than you and I. They have perfect Oxford diction. Gucci Bedouins. And we've been on both sides of the trade for a long time. I understand the sentiment. Let's just blast through all of these walls and find out who our real friends and enemies are. I understand that strategic approach. We're done being on all sides of the trade. We're done giving people who yell death to America our money. We're done with it. We're going to blast through all of these walls, regime by regime, and figure out who really wants to fight and who doesn't. I understand that approach. I really do. I'm not a pacifist. I get it. But if we're going to hit all these enemies, let's just hit them all at once. What are we slow walking for? Hit Turkey next. Former Senator Norm Coleman's meeting with local CEOs here in Minnesota for breakfast, for a luncheon, and he's talking about Turkey already. He's trying to build up the consensus, to manufacture the consensus, the consent that Turkey's next. And when we and when we clean these mullahs' clocks, are we done then? Are we done in the Middle East? Once we've killed the Ayatollah. And the next guy is going to pop up and we're going to kill him too. And the rest of the Iranian guard there. And we're going to have a complete regime change in Iran. And Iran's going to modernize and become Western overnight when the Persians take back control from 50 years ago. And then are we done? After this 4-week campaign, are we done in the Middle East? Then can we get back to securing our own elections? Mark your calendar. Start your clock now. Hit a timer. Put a timer on your iPhone. They said 4 weeks. The long numbers, 4 weeks. We're weeks away from clearing out this regime, this rot, this infection of these radical extremist mullahs. Great. Fine. I have no control whether you do it or not. Would I have done it? Show me where the threat was imminent. Okay. Show me where. But we're in it now. Okay. Blast through. Be my guest. Then are we done? Because I heard the same thing when we blew up the nuclear sites. And President Erdogan was there after October 7th and said, death to the West, cross versus crescent. And he's hanging on to a couple of our NATO nukes. So is Turkey next? Should we hit the cartels too in Mexico while we're at it? How about the communists there to the north, the Canadians? Watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. In the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're talking about Iran, Israel, and America on the other side of the break. Stay tuned for more.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. .com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Over the past 36 hours, the United States and its partners have launched Operation Epic Fury, one of the largest, most complex, most overwhelming military offensives the world has ever seen. Nobody's seen anything like it. We have hit hundreds of targets in Iran, including Revolutionary Guard facilities, Iranian air defense systems. Just now, it was announced that we knocked out 9 ships plus their naval building, all in a matter of literally minutes. Iran's formerly supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is dead. This wretched and vile man had the blood of hundreds and even thousands of Americans on his hands and was responsible for the slaughter of countless thousands of innocent people all across many countries. Last night, all over Iran, the voices of the Iranian people could be heard cheering and celebrating in the streets when his death was announced. The entire military command is gone as well, and many of them want to surrender into saving their lives. They want immunity. They're calling by the thousands. Combat operations continue at this time in full force, and they will continue until all of our objectives are achieved. We have very strong objectives. They could have done something 2 weeks ago, but they just couldn't get there. Earlier today, CENTCOM shared the news that 3 U.S. military service members have been killed in action. As one nation, we grieve for the true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, even as we continue the righteous mission for which they gave their lives. We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case. But America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most punishing blow to the terrorists who have waged war against basically civilization. They have waged war against civilization itself. Our resolve and likewise that of Israel has never been stronger. America is now again the richest, most powerful nation in the world by far. But the only reason we enjoy the quality of life that we do and the freedom and security is we have done things that others are unable to do. But it's because of warriors who are willing to lay down their lives to do battle with our enemies. And they do battle better than anybody.
There's President Trump addressing the last 36 hours of the conflict there in Iran. We're going to bring you the other 3 minutes of that address here on the other side of this break coming up in 60 seconds. And then we're going to talk about it. I'm hearing it myself for the first time. I think it happened while we were on air here. And I don't know. I think I'm pretty even-handed on this stuff. Not lukewarm. I can call the balls and strikes pretty well myself. At least I think so. But I just feel like we're in such a polarizing time. Again, we've lost our sense of pace, how to pace a shower. It's either scolding hot or freezing cold. There's no happy medium, and the happy medium seems to be a corrupt lukewarm that we can't trust. And that is a crisis. That is an inflection point, a cultural inflection point for us in our history, in the history of our nation, in the history of human civilization. Nobody has any trust. And it's warranted, which is extremely, extremely dangerous, makes it a dangerous time that we're living in. We're going to talk about that and much more on the other side of the break. We're going to bring you the other 3 minutes of President Trump's address of the recent events there in the Middle East. We'll be right back after a brief break. Stay tuned. You're watching InfoWars, Sunday Night Live, The Alex Jones Show. I'm Royce White in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
An Iranian regime armed with long-range missiles and nuclear weapons would be a dire threat to every American. We cannot allow a nation that raises terrorist armies to possess such weapons, would allow them to extort the world to their evil will. Not going to let it happen. We're not happening to us, and we're not going to let it happen to others. The United States has the strongest military the world has ever seen. I rebuilt our military in my first term. There's never been a military like we possess. And frankly, there's nobody even close, but we are now using that military for good. We want to have it for a good purpose. We're undertaking this massive operation not merely to ensure security for our own time and place, but for our children and their children, just as our ancestors have done for us many, many years ago. This is the duty and the burden of a free people. These actions are right, and they are necessary to ensure that Americans will never have to face a radical, bloodthirsty terrorist regime armed with nuclear weapons and lots of threats. For almost 50 years, these wicked extremists have been attacking the United States while chanting the slogan, "Death to America," or "Death to Israel," or both. They are the world's number one state sponsor of terror. We are the world's greatest and most powerful nation, so we can do something about what they do. These intolerable threats will not continue any longer. I once again urge the Revolutionary Guard, the Iranian military, police, to lay down your arms and receive full immunity or face certain death. It will be certain death. Won't be pretty. I call upon all Iranian patriots who yearn for freedom to seize this moment, to be brave, be bold, be heroic, and take back your country. America is with you. I made a promise to you, and I fulfilled that promise. The rest will be up to you, but we'll be there to help. Thank you. God bless you to our incredible warriors, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Your 47th president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, addressing the recent actions there in the Middle East, the war that has broken out with Iran. And he says that the future of Iran is now up to the free people and patriots of Iran, but America will be there to assist. And you just have to ask yourself, you know, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? Let me put this on the table. I'm trying to be as pragmatic about this as possible, because again, we do find ourselves in the middle of a strange duality where we are fighting a battle against perfection. You want to strive to be perfect, but perfect can also be, in many cases, is the enemy of the good. You can be paralyzed by the desire to be perfect. That's the duality of being human, and we have to face that, which means we have to thread a needle with the dangers, you know, as many as we've ever faced. What does it mean that we're going to be there to help? And maybe it is that our military is so much better than everybody else's that we're going to have a campaign now. There's going to be a show and tell. There's going to be a showing of military supremacy, military superiority. And maybe that deters everybody from war. Maybe. I don't know. See, the Iranians, the mullahs, they made a vital mistake you know, or maybe they really believe in martyrdom. But if that was the case, you would think they'd have went all out long before now, because certainly they've had more than enough invitation by their standards, by the things that they say. They've had more than enough invitation to go all out long before this. So maybe they genuinely believe in martyrdom. But we sort of presented the alliance as a strategic kind of three-card Monty that China and Russia and Iran have been playing against us the entire time. North Korea. And there are all three scenarios. You have hot, you have cold, you have somewhere in the middle where people play three-card Monty. They put all the cards against one another. They pit everybody against one another. But Iran made a terrible error in thinking that the Chinese or the Russians were going to back their play. That hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet. And maybe America, maybe President Trump and the rest of the military sees a strategic advantage and they want to press the advantage all the way to the borders of China, all the way to the front door of Beijing. That may be what we're watching here. And if we, and I've said this from the very beginning, I'm as much of a non-interventionist as you could possibly find. I really am. I think the forever wars have been a pitfall for this country for a long time. But President Trump did inherit a forever war culture, a forever war economy, a forever war deep state and government. And for the most part, as critical as we have been of that forever war culture in America, we also accepted it. So you have a president now who has to thread a needle himself of public approval and sentiment. And, you know, how do I govern? How do I lead? How do I be president of a nation that allowed the erection of these deep state and military industrial complexes and, you know, this unlimited surveillance after 9/11, the Patriot Act and all this other, you know, tyranny that's come down on our own people here in this country. How do I lead people through that when it doesn't seem that they find it too urgent? And oh, by the way, if I get a little too pushy, there's no guarantee that the people who run all of those agencies and apparatuses and apparatchiks, there's no guarantee they won't kill me. And there is no guarantee they won't kill him. And that's also something that we've buried on page 7 for a long time, you know, in the first year or so of this term of President Trump's second term. That he still is under the threat of being taken out by the deep state. Let's not forget that. And I'm not making excuses, because I fundamentally reject that these strikes, this action in Iran was necessary and imminent and superseded the need to secure our own elections. I mean, that is just categorically a disorientation of priority, in my opinion. But we're in it now. So if we're going to go, there's two choices. I mean, we can play the escalate, de-escalate. You know, he's kind of throwing a branch out there to the rest of the Iranians saying, you believe me now? You want to settle down? You want to strike a deal now? And that's the way that war goes a lot of times. They've told us that the Iranians are ideologues, religious ideologues, and that they'll never surrender. We're calling for regime change, and even in that message there, it's kind of unclear, which I understand, because there's a war happening and you don't want to telegraph. But, you know, he's asking the Iranian regime, the current Iranian regime, the mullahs, to surrender, and they're going to get full immunity. But he's also telling the rest of the Iranian people to rise up, which we've always seen when Arab revolutions happen. The regime that's being toppled gets drugged through the streets and they get executed and hung. So, I mean, there's kind of a mixed message coming right there. There's two ways we could do this, revolution or renaissance. It's here on the local level. And when I say local, I mean domestically here in our country. We can have revolution or we can have renaissance. It's the same thing on the international level. We could have revolution or we could have renaissance. Doesn't look like we've chosen the renaissance path. Doesn't look like we're going to win the war of intellectual ideas. And we did it to ourselves because the material high was too good. We like the truth fast and loose. We like contradiction. We like double standards. It seems to be the only standards we have left in society. Double standard. We like it that way. It benefits us. It benefits us in our personal lives. It benefits the theater, the puppet theater that we continue to watch and subscribe to. It benefits us not to have to confront the reality. Look ourselves in the mirror. Look ourselves in the mirror as individuals. Look ourselves in the mirror as a culture and say, you know what? We got to cut the shit. Just cut the shit. We don't want to cut the shit. So the other option is that we go full on contact. And my point is the only way to make that a righteous endeavor is to just go walk right up to the front door of Beijing. Let's just go all the way. Let's just go. If the real alliance is the Iron Triangle between Russia and China and Iran and North Korea and whoever, just walk right up to the front door of Beijing, knock on the door and say, President Xi, you authoritarian, tyrannical, anti-God, Chinese supremacist, you come on out. We're dragging you out of Beijing. Because that's who the real enemy is. By their definition, by their standards, by their reporting. It's not Iran. Iran's a proxy. I'm tired of hearing all of these different narratives. Is there a holy war with the mullahs? And now that the mullahs are defeated, they're the axis of terrorism, number one state sponsor. They're not the number one. Pardon me, Mr. President. I just want to correct the record. Categorically speaking, Iran is not the number one sponsor of terrorism in the world. China is, because without China's economic support, Iran couldn't function. They couldn't do what they're doing. So that's not completely accurate. The number one sponsor, state sponsor of terrorism in the world is the Chinese Communist Party. And if we're going to go after our enemies and clip them all one by one, let's just die on that. That's the hill to die on. The hill we're going to die on is outside of the Great Wall of China. And that is the righteous war to fight. So if you want to take all of these as individual pieces of a much broader war, we understand that. We should understand that as the American people. And that shouldn't be a dividing line of Jewish influence or not Jewish influence. It's much bigger than that. And Alex Jones has been saying this for a long time. The only globalists aren't Jews. That's ridiculous. That's, again, us showing that we don't know how to pace a shower. We've lost the art of a pace and balance. We've become skewed way to the left or way to the right or up and down, whatever orientation you want. We're having trouble with balance. Our cultural equilibrium is off. Yes, we are in a much broader war. The question is, how do we proceed through it? We know what the inevitable outcome is. The inevitable outcome is we're going to face ideological subversion that reaches its completion here in America. And you look up and you have Mamdani's not only as the mayor of New York City, but sitting there in the White House. Not the Barack Obama type, not the type who still held up the neoconservative infrastructure of American politics. Oh, no, much worse than Barack Obama. You're going to get the Mamdani types in the White House next time, and you're already seeing it start to bubble up there with AOC. If AOC wins the presidency in 2028, you will have a Mamdani type communist in the White House. Then things are going to get interesting. We know the inevitable outcome, ideological subversion, tanks us from within, or we meet the Chinese in an open battlefield. How do we avoid either? I mean, I guess that's the sweet spot people are looking for. Is there a way to avoid either? And I honestly believe that President Trump is trying to find that path. And I pray for his discernment in trying to find that path. We all should, because he's the man in the arena right now, whether you like it or not. You better pray that his decisions have some divine appointment. You better pray. Man can make mistakes. He can recover. He can course correct. We need that because, again, it's like being on a tightrope in a unicycle in a circus. You see the guy, he's kind of, every once in a while, it's a tightrope. If you think the circumstance of American politics is anything other than a tightrope, it's your naivety. It's your naivete that is near traitorous. You're a traitor to yourself and your own mind. If you think that this situation isn't a tightrope, we pushed it to this point. It's not all on him. It's on all of us. Of course, it's hard to know which way is up or down. We were willing to even have an argument about the Democrats pushing LGBTQ curriculums in our schools. We let it happen. We didn't even argue about it. We just let it happen. We didn't even know what was going on. We didn't even know what was happening until we showed up at the school board meetings, and all of a sudden there was one parent who actually read the book that his kid brought home from the library. To a couple of parents overheard, what the teachers were saying to their schools when their kids were logging on to e-learn during COVID. We didn't even know what was happening at the schools. And we wonder why we look up and we're in a tightrope situation. And then we project that angst. We project that angst onto any would-be leader. And we make it almost impossible for them to meet our standards. So there's that element of it. And I understand that. And that's why I give President Trump a lot of grace, and I continue to support him, because I understand, that part of the problem is we're projecting our angst from generations of not participating and not paying attention on to any would-be leader that would stand up and try and get us out of the situation we put ourselves in. Back to my sports reference. It's like a coach. Nobody likes the coach when they play on a team. Very rarely. Any team you see, very rarely do the players have an overwhelming approval of their coach. Everybody's got a gripe to pick with the coach. Oh, the coach doesn't do this. The coach doesn't do that. At the AAU level in youth sports or high school sports, even college sports, it's worse. Every parent thinks their kid's the best player on the team. Their player's the best thing since sliced bread. Everybody thinks their kid should be shooting the ball more. They should be getting more minutes, or, the other kid is jealous, or whatever the case may be. At every single team, nobody likes the coach. Everybody's, a coach themselves. I get that. I get that. I understand that part of it. But I'm also honest enough with myself to say, when I look at people who I know for a fact do not support the president, do not support the MAGA movement, do not support the idea that American citizens should come first, half of them were standing up there in the Congress at the State of the Union address. And we cannot lose sight of that. The headline was, look at how the Democrats wouldn't stand when the president said American citizens should come first. The buried lead is a lot of people believe that who did stand and clap. There are a lot of people at that State of the Union address who do not believe American citizens should come before other priorities. And they stood and clapped because they knew they had to. They felt they had to. They felt pressure to. From their constituents, from the general public who was watching, the president himself, the MAGA movement, the America First movement. It doesn't mean they actually believe it. And it's the same thing with you Israel Firsters. Don't think for a second that we don't remember. You all didn't support President Trump. You didn't support him. You don't believe in the fundamental ideas. Now that he bombs Iran and he gives you your wet dream, all of a sudden you're glazing him. You're fawning all over him like he's the best thing since sliced bread. It's really a reveal. It's really an unmasking. What your real agenda is, it has nothing to do with this country. Because you cannot get me to believe that Iran was an imminent threat this week. You just can't get me to believe. You can't get anybody with half a brain to believe that. They weren't an imminent threat. Are they a part of a fabric of a much broader war, a much broader asymmetrical war, culturally, spiritually, politically, geopolitically? Sure. Absolutely. Unequivocally, that's true. Unequivocally, if Iran had the capacity, they would kill us. Why? Because they say they would. There's no doubt about that. Was the threat imminent this week? No. You know what the imminent threat is? The imminent threat is that the same Republicans who waltzed their way into the State of the Union, Democrats with MAGA hats, we love the President of the United States, we support sealing up the border, were people who were in the Congress and the Senate for years, and they never brought any legislation with any teeth, any political pressure to ensure that the border was closed before now. And they certainly haven't ensured the security of our elections. They talked about it. There was very little done. And now, when we have the reins of power, The Republicans have the House and the Senate. We still haven't secured our elections. We won't even bring the SAVE Act to a vote. They're having a doggy parade there in Washington, D.C., while John Thune says he won't even bring the SAVE Act to a vote. They're throwing it right in your face. And I bring them up for a reason. It's not a non sequitur. It's a direct correlation. It's not a non sequitur. It's directly correlated. Because a lot of those same people who won't bring the SAVE Act to a vote are in full support of this war in Iran. This war for Israel. Let's just cut through the BS. A lot of the same people who didn't support President Trump are all for this war there in Iran. A lot of the same people who won't bring the SAVE Act are all for this war in Iran. A lot of the same people who say, whisper, gotta give the Bush junta, we gotta give President Bush back the Republican Party in 2028. It's gonna start in 2026. It's going to start with the Michelle Tafoyas who told President Trump not to run in 2023, that we needed to go back to normal. A lot of those same people are all for this war. And I'm supposed to sit here. I'm supposed to sit here as one of the young MAGA voices in this movement and in this country. I'm supposed to sit here and pretend like I don't see these people trying to knife President Trump in the back every chance they get. What kind of patriot would I be if I sat here watching these traitors try to knife President Trump and the entire movement, everything that's been done, tried to knife him in the back and not say anything? So sure, we don't want to be too hot. We don't want to be too cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and abandon the MAGA movement, abandon the America First movement, abandon the commander in chief, abandon our president because we don't agree with this particular action. But you, sir, also shouldn't expect us to stand by and stay quiet while people who openly undermine the fundamental pillars of the movement throw it right in our face. Don't expect us to take that on the chin either. We're making all these deals, these fair deals, these square deals all around the world. Let's make one with the American people. Promises made, promises kept. Sure, things may change on the fly. You adapt. The game plan has to be modified. We understand that. Perfect is the enemy of the good. Perfection paralysis is a problem. We can't want to be so perfect that we become immobilized. We understand that. Things change. Plans change. Promises, they get modified. But don't expect us to pretend that the Tom Cottons of the world aren't enemies to the American people because he favors this military action. Sir. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose. Absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free. with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot and show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds. Squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Iron CMOS and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
A frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I want everybody to be aware. Started Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central. Drive time daily call-in show. So if I said something here tonight you fundamentally disagree with, you can call in to the show tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central. Usually we take calls in the 8 a.m. hour, but we're probably going to open the phone lines up in the 7:30 a.m. hour because this is such a controversial topic. And you can look at my X. We'll be reposting the link to the live feed. Follow Free People Radio on X, and that's where the live stream will stream from. So just throwing that out there. If anybody disagrees, I don't want to talk in a vacuum. Please call in. I'd love to discuss it. I think I'm pretty even-handed and fair on the deal, honestly. And again, the deal is this. We agreed. We all made an unspoken agreement. The rise of technology would break us psychologically, displace us politically, and maybe even replace us physically. We've all made that unspoken agreement, whether you know it or not. Whether you can, the Alex Jones audience doesn't make that agreement. They understand the danger of it. One of the only audiences that understands the dangers of transhumanism and technocracy and things of that sort. Other people just, look at it like it's a conspiracy theory. Peter Thiel and Palantir, and I mean, it's all out of control. The NSA isn't even supposed to be able, the NSA isn't even supposed to be able to surveil American citizens. That's all they do. It's out of control. We made an unspoken agreement that we would allow this to take place. And so now things are out of control. And when things get out of control, it's very difficult to get them back under control, especially when people still participate at such a low level. And that's the daunting and dark reality of where we are right now. Yet, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's a better coach, a better president, even me. And I'm here. I'm giving you my opinion. I don't get paid to do it. I give it for free. But, you know, I'm giving you my opinion. And I'm not saying that mine is right. I'm just walking you through the process of how I think about these things. You make your own judgments. You make your own decisions. That's part of the beauty of being an American citizen. Some of our foundational beliefs. We believe in the rugged individual who has their morals and their ethics, their values organized in order enough to produce actions, ideas, contribute to the society as a citizen in a way that benefits the collective, the republic. You could disagree. I don't really know what with. I'm pretty much just laying out how everything is. It's the way it is. Look at the results. My number one thing is look at the results. You can look at the results and infer the motive a lot of times. Look at the results. Look at where we are. We're in chaos by our own design. We're in a sort of, a jigsaw trap of our own design, where we desperately want good leadership. We desperately want leadership, but we don't want to participate in the process. And we love the high that got us. We love the material high that got us here, the radical materialism that got us here. We love it so much, we can't separate from it long enough to get our house back in order. Better get our house in order. It starts in the intellectual. It starts with the organization of your thoughts. Logical consistency. First principles, critical thought. The mullahs were bad people. There is an Islamification happening around the world, and it's starting to rear its ugly head right here in America. The Europeans are already lost. Europe is lost. Europe has fallen. The Muslims have taken Europe. There are 50 million Muslims in a continent of 500 million people, and they want us to subsidize their defense. Sorry, we're not going to be helping you Europeans give your country to the folks who we are fighting a war against just a few clicks south of you. What sense does that make? What's it? Pull out of NATO. You can't say both things at the same time. This is just my opinion. Let's just work through the logical sequence of it. You can't say both things at the same time. You can't say the Iranians represent this radical extremist form of Islam that is the tip of the spear for terrorism in the entire world. And we're going to continue to play footsie with these other European countries there, the NATO alliance, who have given their entire continent to this same ideology and faith. Square that circle. Are we the cuck boyfriend who's trying to convince Europe and the crown that they've picked the wrong path? I mean, how long are you going to go through with that? At some point, dude, you got to make a decision, dude. Is it me or him? Like the great prince said in The Beautiful Ones, if you've ever seen the movie Purple Rain. Do you want him or do you want me? And that's what I want to get geopolitically. Fine. You know what? If Israel became the predominant force in the Middle East African region of this four-player jump ball, cool. I don't care. I actually do think that might be better than the alternative, because at least they don't yell death to America. They may be subversive. They may not have America's best interest at heart, because they have their own best interests at heart. They have a very ethno-national culture there in Israel. And all you ethno-nationalists here in America get called evil. if you believe in having a country, if you believe in holding your heritage here in America, you're evil. If you believe in holding your country and your heritage there in Israel, you're just practical. Okay, fine. There are benefits to that for us strategically. So if they could do greater Israel, do it. Do it. God bless you. Do it. Smash your enemies. I just can't stand when Lindsey Graham says, we're friends with Israel, we're allies with Israel because they're a democracy. Excuse me, Lindsey. It's kind of a Freudian slip there. We're not a democracy. So why does it matter that Israel is? Excuse me, Mr. Republican Senator. Why does it matter that Israel's a democracy when we're a republic? Things like this, we just have to sort of iron these out now. Okay, there are benefits to us. If Israel has that entire region, if they take that entire pole of this jump ball, beneficial for us to a degree. What is our role in it? What do we have to contribute? We've already given three of our service members already. In two days of this war in Iran, we got three members of the military, KIA. And as President Trump just said in his address, the number will grow, unfortunately. That's the nature of wars. How much are we willing to give, and to what end? Because if we break it down to the most logical, you know, the most granular level, can Israel hold the greater Israel footprint? Do they have the manpower? Do they have the military power to hold greater Israel? And if they do, why do we have them on a leash? Just let them go. Let them do whatever they're going to do. They tell us both things at the same time. They give you both narratives at the same time. In one sense, they say, oh, well, you know, Israel could have decimated Gaza or Iran or any one of these other countries or regimes 1,000 times over. They've been restrained because what? America's being the middleman? And what? Is there some balance that these Gucci Bedouins and Middle Eastern leaders have to strike with the constituents of their own nation because they favor the European modernity. They favor the European elitism, but they can't have it and still hold the support of their Muslim constituents because their Muslim constituents are being taught something different about modernity and European elitism in the faith, in the mosques. They're being taught something different about the way of life, the contemplative versus technocracy. And yet and still the mullahs want to develop technology themselves to try and win a war. You see, we're in a chaotic sphere here. And I guess you could say history is written by the victors. And there is something to be said for that. There is something to be said for that. Something significant. Something that isn't inconsequential. History is written by the victors. So we're going to see how this all plays out. We're going to see how it plays out. You're right to ask questions. We're right to ask questions. We're right to be skeptical. Anybody who says otherwise, honestly, you need to take a look in the mirror. Seriously. At what point, even the president, I mean, you see, I got a Trump, you know, 2024, and I wish I could change it to Trump 2028 box of cereal here. And there's real cereal in this box because I support the president. And I believed he has a divine appointment. He was touched by God. 4 bullets zoomed past his face. Had his head been blown off, this country would be in a quasi-civil war to this day. God had other plans for us. So he has a divine appointment. That doesn't mean he's not going to make mistakes along the way. That doesn't mean we should try and encourage him. Surely Mark Levin doesn't think that he is that the president is above his critiques. So you should too, and fair play to us. Let's see how this thing starts to unfold. Let's see how this thing starts to unfold. Be watchful. Like it says in Ezekiel 3:16, be watchmen on the wall. Two choices, revolution or renaissance. The way we're headed now is revolution. No doubt about it. And everybody better get ready. Because I think the reality of what that looks like is so far away from what people, you know, have any familiarity with or have even been to that place in their mind. Like what that would be like when things start to really break down and chaos ensues. Not controlled chaos, not, you know, George Soros sort of, you know, political theater chaos, not like, you know, a white, you know, young 18 to 30 year old, purple haired progressives in the streets. Not that type of chaos. I mean, really balls to the wall, every man for himself, pillaging and stealing and robbing and looting, full on anarchy. I don't know if people are really ready for that. I do know a lot of you would beg for martial law. You would beg for it. And that says that's a diagnostic of our culture as well. That before we would be ready to deal with anarchy and go to a balls to the wall sort of post-civilized scenario here in this country, we would beg for martial law. Look at all you conservatives every time. This, oh, it's martial law. Martial law. It's like, hang on a second. Hold up. Martial law? Does some Antifa fruitcakes want to break a couple boxes and burn a couple buildings? Martial law? Hold up. How about we just go drag these Antifa freaks out of this building and beat their ass? Pardon my French. Just drag these little fruitcakes out of these buildings and beat their ass. A good ass whooping will shape people up real quick. No. We go to the extreme. Lack of temperance. We have a Christian crisis, a lack of temperance in this culture. No pace. Now, I see the people out there saying, you know, vote for the Democrats in 2026. Oh, the Republican Party's doing the exact same thing. Vote for the Democrats. Come on. If you're going to vote with people who openly accept, embrace Satan, you got problems bigger than politics. If you're going to vote with people who openly mock Christ, you got problems way bigger than politics, my friend. As much as I may agree that the GOP is feckless bunch of eunuchs, and I really agree. I mean, and I said this last week, and I'll say it again. It deeply concerns me that in this state's darkest hour, the instinct of conservative Christian men who should be strong and proud and ready to step in and fight run to a couple of women with two very masculine voices to save them. The lack of testicular fortitude in that is astounding to me. You name names on this show. Lisa DeMuth, Michelle Tafoya, even Norm Coleman's daughter-in-law, Julia Coleman. Three women, three Democrats in MAGA hats with very masculine voices. And that's become a motif of the Christian conservative male. You're obsessed with women. Honestly, it's embarrassing. That's why you're afraid of Muslims. Because they, you know, despite our disagreements with them theologically, they have the natural order in order. And we're kind of hesitate to say this, but it's somewhat true. We're afraid of the Muslims because we're kind of jealous of the order that they show in their culture. Look at the birth rates. See, we don't have a physical sort of numerical Islamification in this country. Our Islamification comes by way of political concession. The Europeans have actually given their country over to Muslims physically. We don't have that problem here. There are only 7 million Muslims that live in America. Yet, Mamdani somehow finds himself the mayor of the financial capital of the world, the greatest city on earth, New York City. That's a concession of politics. Can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's nothing prudent about that. We have to put our shoulder to the wheel. Find that pace. Speak out. Speak truth. Starts in your own local communities. Send the signal to President Trump. And by God, Mr. President, I support you. But understand, as sure as the sun will rise, the security of our election should come long before any war anywhere in the world. Or else people just start to think the whole thing is theater. And you and I both know for a long time the whole thing has been theater. That's what makes that's what made and still makes you a dangerous player in this game. Is that the theater can't necessarily predict what you're going to do. But when you fall into when you fall into line and you start to take the same course, tread the same course of the same neocons who opposed you, I mean, you know, all of us have the are susceptible to becoming a player in a much bigger agenda and becoming a cog in the machine. How else should we look at that? Tell us. Address that. We see what's going on in Iran. You're about to, you know, you're about to plow right through the Iranian guard. We see that 100 yards off. Anybody who's, you know, fear panicking, fear mongering. Oh, well, this, you know, this and that. Nah, come on. Come on. Stop it. American military has supremacy in this scenario, in a lot of scenarios, unless we go straight up, toe to toe, balls to the walls with the CCP in China. Then we're in the, you know, then we're in the unknown. Right now, if Iran really had the capacity to hit back the way that their religious ideology and extremism called for, they'd have done it. They're not doing it because they can't do it. And sometimes you call people's bluff. Sometimes people sell wolf tickets that, you know, as my great grandfather used to say, their rear end can't cash. They write checks their rear end can't cash. It looks like that's the mullah Iranian regime. Looks like that's the Ayatollah. Also have to understand he's playing a much longer game. He understands martyrdom. He said he was willing to die and he did die. And he understands that the ideology itself, the religion and the extremism in the religion will only fester in his death. Something that us American Christians don't have or in order. Because in the wake of Charlie Kirk's brutal assassination, some celebrated his death and mocked his death. Then they turned around and mocked Christ. And then you have rhino Republicans who want to walk away from the right, who want to walk away from Christ as a remedy. Again, I think we envy the Muslims somewhat. They're having 8, 9 kids. We fear that. Our own elections are the issue. The only regime change we need, or let's say the regime change we need first and foremost, is the regime change there in Washington, D.C., of the deep state, of the feckless uniparty Republicans who subvert and undermine the will of the people, the mandate that we gave President Trump, the America First and MAGA movement. That's the regime change that we need. We need to defang the CIA. We need to defang the NSA, who we know are still operating with impunity. We need to defang some of the people there in D.C., the administrative state. These are the people who need to be defanged, and they need to be defanged yesterday. Or maybe everybody else knows something I don't know. Maybe people know something I don't know, and that's completely possible. I'm only working with the information as I see it. I'm only calling the game as it's been played before, you know, before me, being played out in front of me. The Democrats said our elections aren't secure. The Republicans said our elections aren't secure. Joe Biden at one time said that our elections had security issues. President Trump said that the elections aren't secure. When will we get secure elections? When will we get some concrete reassurance about the security of our elections? Because they've already started voting in Texas. I mean, if there's a state more important, if there's a place more important than New York City, surely Texas is it. We've already let those elections begin without any reassurance of security. So when exactly is this election security going to become a priority? Or is it even a real thing? I mean, you got to start to understand that your priorities reveal, they say a lot about what's true and what's not. I know the elections aren't secure. because I live in a state where you could walk up and vouch for seven other illegal foreign invaders to vote. So I know they're not secure. The question is it actually a priority? How much of a priority? Or is there some shadowy force that really thinks no matter who wins these elections, secure or not, their interests will be served? And those are the murmurs going throughout this country right now, and rightfully so. If the security of elections aren't a priority, then maybe the elections aren't real, and no matter who gets elected, the interests of the group of people who control this country from behind the curtain still are served. That's a problem. That's a crisis. We better start solving that first and foremost. The Ayatollah is dead. Nobody's going to lose sleep. Nobody's going to shed a tear. The next, religious extremist is going to pop in and fill the void, probably from a place far from Iran, probably right there in Pakistan or wherever these people are all across the Eurasian continent. Might be from right there in London. There'll be some guy in a bunker there in London giving religious supreme orders or credos down from, from his plush penthouse with Ben and Jerry's ice cream and white women. Bacon. We don't even know who these people are. I'm just being honest. But we do know what's happening here in this country, and that has to become our first priority. Promises made, promises kept. We're not abandoning the ship. There's no sacred honor in that. But we do have to be honest. The ship's taking on water. When I see a bunch of neocons getting on one side of the ship in favor of this war and they're rocking the boat in their direction, we have to just say it like it is. These people do not like President Trump. They don't like you. They don't like you. That's it. They don't like you. They don't believe in you. They don't support you. They supported Nikki Haley. They supported Ron DeSantis. They supported every person they possibly could to stop you from getting back in office. And now they're trying to subvert your message to the base, the America First Movement, which they fear even more than they fear you, because they know people like me are coming just around the corner and there'll be no quarter. Thanks for having me again to the InfoWars team. Thank you guys in the studio, the great Alex Jones. We'll see you again next Sunday. If you want to call in debate, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Free People Radio tomorrow. We'll see you next time. God bless America. Godspeed.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. .com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.